If you smoke cigars, you better know this name. Cigar Craig's blog has set the net aflame. You can be sure Craig knows his stuff, with a new review each time he takes a puff. Learn about tobacco from the ends of the earth. Grab a cigar and get ready to herf. Brothers of the leaf, there's only one place to be. CigarCraig.com. Oh yeah.
Oh yes, Craig on the Cigar Craig podcast. Today I'm here with Nick Everett. And there's Matcha in the background. Nick Everett's a local singer-songwriter in the Delaware area. He's been around the scene a long time. It's funny, when I contacted him, invited him to the Cigar Craig Lounge here to have a cigar with me and talk about cigars and music today, I made a broad offer. Oh, Matcha, shh. I made a very broad offer. I said, what would you like to smoke? And he said, well, I'd like to, you know, I'm on a Connecticut Shade kick and I'm on, you know, Nicaraguan. So Connecticut Shade, Nicaraguan. He could have said anything. He could have said Opus X. He could have said, you know, Padron Anniversary, but he just said Connecticut Shade and Nicaraguan. So I thought about it for a minute, and I said, okay, we'll go with the Hoya Nicaragua Cabaneta, which is a favorite of mine going back to probably 2010. And I love this cigar because I was in the factory in 2011 and watched them rolling these, and it was fascinating. And I really dig it. It's a great cigar. Have you had this, Nick?
I've never had that. I'm very excited.
Yep, that's good. So we're
that's
gonna
good.
We're gonna enjoy that. So
that.
Welcome to the lounge, Nick. I appreciate that. We'll light those up in a second. Tell us real quick about your history in the Delaware, southeastern Pennsylvania, northeast music scene.
Yeah, well, I came when I was finished college. I went up and played a little bit of music up around the New York area, but then I came back to Philly and Wilmington, and it was a little bit cozier of a scene, and there was a lot going on at that time in the early to mid 80s. So I started out solo acoustic, and I started opening for a lot of national acts at the cabarets that used to be around, the Chestnut Cabaret, 23 East, Ambler, all that, the Stone Balloon. And then I started getting back into bands. When I was a kid, I played drums in bands, and but then I always wanted to be the singer or songwriter, and so I started really focusing on my craft of songwriting, and so ever since I've been in the area, but solo and with bands, doing my work, and I've opened for a lot of national acts and had a lot of fun and been sort of on break. I mean, I'm still playing some solo acoustic cover gigs, but I'll get another band back together and get back out there and get back to writing again.
Now, you go back to the late 80s, right?
Yes.
Now, in the late 80s, I was managing a record store in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah?
Would I have seen a record?
Yes,
you probably. In the shop? Because I seem to remember your name from back then. And
the Nick Everett Group, Surrender Tonight, that record?
I think so, yeah.
Because that was in the area, and it had a regional hit, the title track.
Because I swear I remember seeing the record, the name.
Okay.
And I don't remember if it was in there, or we used to have a newspaper type of magazine on the counter, Fine Times or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was probably both. Yeah, it was in Fine Times because that came out of Delaware. And then remember The Big Shout was right after
Big
it.
Shout, that was
Big
Greg,
Shout, that was also,
Greg,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good friend of yours,
Greg's,
and Jennifer's, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, we have some.
Greg's magazine.
We go
back
a little bit with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do remember going back.
I'm sure you guys all went through the same distributors. You probably got the CD. So
could have been, yeah. Could have been. At the later times, the company I was working for was national in scope, so we would have had less of that. But
okay.
It was a small mom-and-pop shop, you know, in the earlier times, which might have been where it ended, where we would have seen it. because we would have had local stuff at that point.
Okay.
But, yeah, I knew I'd, I was sure I'd seen it at some point in the, yeah. as I'd been
Those were fun days.
Looking through there. Yep, absolutely.
So that's a different business back then, too.
No, no doubt. Very, very much so.
Yeah, I wish I had been born 10 years earlier, because yeah. I kind of came in on the tail end of that great, the record business where, you know, you really worked hard and you tried to market yourself to a record company, and then they would take it from there and market you.
Right.
And try to get you out there.
Right, yeah.
And now, you know, you might have more opportunities with the internet, et cetera, but it's just there's so many people doing it, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle.
Well, and you got to market yourself. There's nobody yeah. to do it for you, right?
And it's just so much music and so many choices, and, you know, people don't know where to start, you know?
No kidding. Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, when I got into it in the early 80s, there were records. I mean, there
right.
was records and tapes.
Real vinyl.
We yeah. had one CD on the shelf, and it was a curiosity, you know. People
right.
pointing, what is that? Is it a video disc? What is that? You know, and it was super expensive. It was like $18.99. You know?
Right, right. Wow.
It was ridiculous. But
yeah, they're ridiculous now. They're expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved cassettes back in those days.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and I remember going, you mentioned the cabarets, I remember going to shows at the cabarets and going to see Robert Hazard and the
right.
Hooters. And
see, that was all the scene that yeah. I kind of came up in, and I kind of, they were, some of those guys were my generation, and some of them were the generation before, you know, mm-hmm. like Queter and Hazard were before me.
Yeah.
And then, but I was kind of like in with Tommy Conwell, uh-huh. Hooters,
Schoolboys,
the Daves, the Schoolboys, yeah. the Stan, Bricklin, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Richard Bush and the A's and all that, right. that was right before me too.
Yeah.
But it was a great scene. When I came back here after college, it was like, wow, why would I want to go back up to New York or somewhere like this? Philly really had a thriving rock scene.
Absolutely.
And it was exciting. And people were getting signed to major labels out of here. So I was like, I want to be a part of this, you know?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's what happened. Plus, this is a great place to live. I think the mid-Atlantic states.
Oh, sure.
You know, everything's 2 hours away.
It's, exactly.
You know, we're right here. We're centrally located.
Yep, absolutely.
I really like it, yeah. So
at what point did cigars become a feature at the
I'm actually a novice, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember years ago, I mean, I quit smoking, turn that off, smoking cigarettes about 18 years ago.
Okay.
And while I was smoking cigarettes back in the day, I'd horse around you know, smoke a cigar once in a while, but I didn't know anything about cigars. I didn't know what I was doing. But I'm a novice. I'm only about two years or so into this. When you and I first met,
that's true.
I wasn't smoking that long.
Yeah, you were just getting started.
I was just learning and everything. So and you were an early influence. You taught me some stuff about cigars, and you gave me some nice cigars, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
When I came here, and also when we went out
together.
That day.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So yeah. I think like most people, when you first start smoking cigars, you kind of try everything until you find out what you like. I don't know, but you seem to, more than most people I know, you seem to be real open-minded with cigars. You like a lot of different cigars, whereas most guys I know only smoke maybe two brands.
Right.
Two types, and that's it. But you smoke a lot because I see your posts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I,
that's great.
I think a lot of the fun is the variety. I couldn't imagine. I mean, a lot of times I sit and think if I weren't writing about cigars and talking about them so much, I could probably settle on 10 or 20 different cigars to smoke all the time and just, you know, buy boxes and settle on
yeah,
a rotation,
like,
right? But
and you like medium, you like full.
Yeah, I go all over the place.
I mean, sometimes in the morning it's nice to have a mild cigar,
mm-hmm.
and, you know. But I have, because of my singing voice, that's why I've kind of reverted back to Connecticut's.
Well, and that's what I was, you had mentioned that, and I was going to I was going to bring that up. You said that Connecticut's were easier on the voice.
Right.
And I was going to ask you to expand on that a little bit. Maybe.
Well, just, I guess it's pretty simple. I mean, the darker, fuller tobaccos are just harsher on the throat. I mean, I'm not inhaling them, but, you know, it still gets down there a little bit. It seems to affect me, and sometimes I do, believe it or not, feel it in my chest the next day.
Sure. Really? So, interesting.
You know, do you ever feel it in your chest?
No, not really.
No. Maybe I let it go back a little too far. Yeah. You never know.
I mean, you said you had quit cigarettes 18 years ago.
Yeah.
I quit about 12 years ago, so I'm...
Yeah.
Used to smoke cigarettes, too, but I never had the... I mean, I smoked cigars for 22 years, so I smoked both concurrently for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Never had the urge to inhale at all. So I, you know, as a matter of fact, when I smoked cigars and cigarettes at the same time, when I was smoking cigars, cigarette was the last thing I wanted. I could, if I was at a cigar event, I, you know, have my obligatory cigarette in the morning, and then if I was smoking cigars all day, I wouldn't have a cigarette the rest of the day, you know.
And that's good. Those things are just...
Yeah, that was a monkey monkey on my back.
Yeah, cigarettes just lead you nowhere, you know.
Just a habit.
It's just a habit, and they weren't even tasting good anymore. Mm-hmm. And it is true. I mean, they just have so much more impurities in them than cigars
it's just
do.
That's junk. But, with this cigar, this is a Connecticut shade cigar.
Nice.
But it has a Sumatra, basically, on the first 2 inches of the cigar is just a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And, I've found these have been in the humidor for quite some time, but I generally find that when you finally get to that, it doesn't burn very well. It's hard to keep it lit anyway, so it's pretty much time to be done with it.
You want to quit anyway.
Generally, yeah. So...
No, but
to your point, it's not going to be that much of an issue, you know. like you found out with a little bit of unraveling there, that it like I said, it's a Connecticut cigar, and they apply the Sumatra on it.
Yeah, so that's
secondary.
Yeah.
Which like I said in the beginning, I watched them do these in the factory, make these in the factory where they were, you know, applying this. Secondary.
Yeah, that's right. You've been down in Nicaragua a few times, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get down there, although there's been a little bit of unrest down there lately.
Yeah, now's not the time to go.
I don't know. It's not a good time, man.
No.
No, but these have a nice, they're very smooth. The taste, it's a really nice blend, kind of like a leather and a chocolate, but mild.
Sure. Yep, absolutely. And Hoya de Nicaragua is known for heavier-bodied cigars, and I think this is one of their milder offerings.
I think maybe I've had other ones, but not this one. I really like it. Yeah.
No, this is a great cigar, and I've enjoyed these,
great.
I said, for many, many years. And I was quite pleased when I thought of this one after you made your request, and I was racking my brain, and I was thinking, oh, Under Crown Shade. But when we got together a couple of years ago, we smoked the Under Crown Shade. So
right.
I was trying to think of something different.
Right,
so
right.
Not to,
but that's definitely
not
one of my
redundant.
Favorites.
Yeah, that's a great cigar.
I really like that cigar. Lately, I've been trying some different. Since I've been on a little bit more of a budget, I've been ordering things online, and I'll check different cigars out. I like, and I'm sure you know the name of it, Alec Bradley puts out a nice Connecticut. I like a lot of their cigars.
The American?
I think.
They have
they've got really fine.
Alec Bradley American blend or something.
Yeah,
their
heavier cigars. I love the Black Market. That's a really good cigar.
Have you tried that Filthy Hooligan? I just got tongue-tied. Filthy Hooligan. It's a Candela. The green or the green, and it's a barber pole the last couple of years.
Okay.
Which is a green and brown barber pole. Interesting. They usually come out around St. Patrick's Day. just because they're green.
I'll have to try that out.
It's very interesting. It may be kind to your vocal cords.
Yeah.
It's an interesting cigar.
Yeah.
It's in that same Black Market series, actually. It's the same blend with a Candela wrapper applied
right
over.
And then, and then recently I had, what's this other cigar I had? You ever had any of the Bahias? They're not bad.
Not recently. I remember smoking them 20 years ago when they were made in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
The original Bahias. They were really good.
I
they were a super premium at the time.
Now, yeah, because they have a Brazilian wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure if the filler is Nicaraguan or Costa Rican mm-hmm. or Dominican. I'm not quite sure. I can't remember.
They've, I think Cigars International's bought the license or licensed the name for those now. But years ago, in the 90s, they were a premium cigar made in Costa Rica that carried a hefty price tag at the time. They were probably $6, which was a lot then. But they were in high demand, and they fizzled out. And in the 90s, Costa Rica, well, it's still an expensive place to make cigars just because the labor's
you don't
higher.
See as much,
There's some super
premium. Or they're
premium.
Really pricey.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's a nice cigar, a unique cigar that I tried recently that I liked? Holtz is the only one that sells it. They have a Drew Estate Ocean Club. Or no.
It's Rocky Patel. Patel's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A Rocky Patel Ocean Club. I really like that. It was a nice
exclusive.
Medium cigar.
Yeah, I've tried that. That's a very nice cigar.
Yeah, I like
they
some of the Rocky Patels.
They have a bunch of exclusives that are pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the Rocky Patels. Some of theirs.
Did you ever get to their store downtown?
No, I got to.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. They have a nice little lounge in the back. You can go sit down and have a cigar. Interesting, the people you run into there from time to time.
I'm sure.
I was sitting there one day having a cigar, and the baseball game was on, and a guy comes in and sits down smoking a cigar. He's got an enormous Phillies ring on with all kinds of diamonds, and I turn and I look at him, and it's Gary Matthews.
Oh, cool.
Sarge from the, 90s Phillies.
Yeah, I remember him.
I said, I think you probably know something about this game.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this, but I think every cigar smoker I know is in agreement with this, is that there is something really unique about cigar smokers. I've never been in a lounge, unless it's guys that are known each other a long time and they're drinking too much or something like that, but I've never seen tension in a lounge. People seem to be laid back, and you could have people of all different races, colors, creeds, political persuasion, and people just sit there and you can have civil conversations. And it always makes me think about if all the world leaders could sit down and have a cigar.
Yeah, that's generally
and
the...
And just chill out. We could get a lot of problems worked out in the world, couldn't
absolutely.
We?
That's generally the common theme. So everybody seems to get along when they're having a cigar.
It's true.
We all have in common.
Well, and you find out more and more about, famous people that smoke, and some of them will go into lounges and sit with everybody else.
Yeah.
I was in Bradley Beach, New Jersey, in a little lounge. It was pretty nondescript. It was basically a store. It wasn't real clean, but it had a couple of nice couches.
Mm-hmm.
I look up and I see an autographed picture of Jack Nicholson and Danny DeVito.
No kidding.
And I said, because I know those guys are from the area, that Nicholson from Manasquan, Danny from Neptune.
Hmm.
And I said, do these guys ever come in here? And he goes, yeah, when they're in town. They don't come into town too often, but they'll come in and they'll sit down with everybody else and have a cigar. As long as you don't hammer them, too much shop talk,
sure,
they'll sit around. But if you're going to sit there and try to talk to them about movies, they're going to get up and leave.
Yeah, right.
Right. But I just thought that was really cool to hear, that Jack would sit down.
And it'd
be nice to have a nice casual conversation with Jack Nicholson.
I assume if you don't pester him, if you don't fall all over
yourself. Yeah, you just talk about the weather or talk about, whatever.
Treat him like normal people.
Yeah, the news, whatever, whatever's going on.
Uh-oh.
But I really do think that there's a thread that runs through cigar smokers. much different than cigarette smokers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No doubt, no doubt. No doubt. But,
well, I think, too, because cigars should be a relaxing experience, and so most smoke cigars know how to relax.
So what's you're playing gigs. I know you have one coming up this week, right? You said Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday, Concord Bell Inn.
Yeah, not too far down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing some solo shows, mm-hmm. and slowly getting back into writing. I was really burned out. I just needed to take a break from that.
Yep.
Pushing myself, you know, just as the songwriter, Nick.
And right.
You have to step back, and, you know, everybody does that.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. And like anything else, it, you can't force it, right?
You can't force it, no. So, I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully some good songs will come. And just to kind of get through that and get through some other personal, you know, hard times. And,
sure.
You know, I guess maybe that may add to it, you know. Sometimes that adversity, not that I like to purposely set myself up for
yeah,
it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that can go either way, though.
Right, right.
That can either inspire or block you, right?
Shut you down,
absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
So.
But do you find that the cigars help sometimes to have a calming effect? Or
absolutely. Definitely the cigar. Well, I enjoy all of them, but I enjoy a cigar at the end of the day before I make dinner, have a cocktail and a cigar, and if it's a nice day, sit out on my front porch,
mm-hmm.
look at the city.
Right.
There's always something crazy going on in the city. And that, and then I enjoy one before bed.
Do you?
But not always. I don't always do it because it'll affect me. But
interesting you say that, because I find that if I have a cigar too late at night, I have weird-ass dreams.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's what I mean. Dreams. Either that I can't sleep or yeah. I get weird dreams.
Yep. I'm weird that way maybe, but I know some people that have one before bed and...
I enjoy one in the morning with some coffee.
Yeah, well, every now and then I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're more of an early evening or
afternoon
smoker?
Yeah, I'm an after dinner. Generally, after dinner is my my habit. Take the dog for a walk, have one. On rare occasions, afternoon like this.
So you have one a day? You average one a day?
Pretty much, yep.
Okay.
That's pretty much my pattern.
That's good.
Yep. Moderation, everything in moderation.
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes I should adhere to that.
Yeah.
Most days it's only one, maybe two, but sometimes mm-hmm. it'll be three or four, and that isn't always good.
Mm-hmm.
But
very cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting people that smoke cigars,
sure
and we've had some great presidents that have smoked cigars, mm-hmm. world leaders.
Yeah.
Of course, Mr. Churchill was the
absolutely.
They say that he increased cigar sales.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, jeez. He has a size named after him.
Mm-hmm.
His name is part of the history, part of the fabric of cigars.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think. Maybe you know this. How about recent presidents? Presidents in our lifetime, any of them smoke cigars? I know Kennedy did.
Oh, certainly Kennedy.
I know LBJ smokes cigarettes. I don't know what Nixon or Ford or... I don't think Carter smoked at all.
Certainly Clinton had smoked cigars and...
Or at least he had
did
one
other
around.
Things, yeah. Had a history with cigars, we'll call it that. Put it that way.
And I don't know if either one of the Bushes smoked.
I don't think so.
Clinton... Obama smoked cigarettes,
yeah.
Apparently.
Clinton supposedly did smoke cigars because it's... It's
okay.
Gurkha claims that he smoked Gurkhas.
So okay,
that was
and maybe
claim.
You know this. What was the brand that Tony Soprano smoked in The Sopranos? I always wondered.
I don't know that.
I'm sure you can probably Google it.
Yeah,
look it up.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that is.
I know that
CAO licensed The Sopranos and came out with.
Yeah, there
a
was
Sopranos
a Sopranos
brand,
cigar, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they released a line with the same blend 2 years ago called the Consigliere, which
right, I remember that
was the same blend.
Yeah.
But they
a friend of mine likes those cigars a lot.
Yeah, It's a good, nice blend.
That smokes down at Old Havana.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard somebody was telling me, it could have been you, but somebody was telling me that Armand Asante has a nice line of cigars.
Armand Asante has a wonderful line of cigars.
Really nice boutique cigars.
Absolutely. A friend of mine,
I'll have to try
Victor
some.
Vitale, makes them. They're hard to come by. I know a place down in South Philly that carries them.
And they're not cheap either, are they?
No, they're $10. They're not in.
Okay.
Not,
that's not
outrageous.
Bad.
No.
I'll pay $10
for fantastic cigars.
Okay.
The Ora Vivo Armand Asante. Fantastic cigars, Nicaraguan blend made in Honduras.
Yeah, because he's partly Hispanic anyway, right? Doesn't he have some Hispanic blood?
Italian.
It's like Italian,
he's
Hispanic,
Italian. He
I
might
think.
Have some, but he's Italian.
That's such a great
a
name for
nice
a cigar,
guy.
An Asante cigar. Yes. It's just got a nice ring to it.
He's a super nice guy. I've met him.
Oh, you met him?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very good actor.
Yep.
I loved him
as
Gotti.
Yeah. He's a super nice guy. I'll pull out a picture at some point. But,
oh, cool.
Yeah. He was at the trade show a couple of years ago, and we know the guy that makes the cigars for him very well.
Oh, okay. Are there any other notable celebrities that have a nice line of cigars? You see sports figures from now and then.
Not a lot of them are very successful.
Right.
Karl Malone just came out with a line recently that seems pretty serious. I haven't smoked it yet. It just debuted at the trade show this year. It's made at La Aurora in Dominican Republic. It's supposed to be very good. Rocky Patel's made a few for various people.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably had as much success as anybody.
Right.
Most of them are gimmicky. Ditka had a line with Camacho for a while.
Okay.
But most of them
cigar.
Yeah, most of them are perceived as fairly gimmicky.
Right. I got that impression.
Right.
Huh.
Fittipaldi had one. The race car driver in the late 90s that I'm probably the only one that ever remembers it.
Right. If you if you were out of cigar, you were out of town, and all the cigar stores were closed, and you couldn't get yourself a decent cigar, and you had to go to like a Wawa or a 7-Eleven, what would you buy?
Well, I'd probably opt not to have a cigar in that case.
Yeah, that's usually my situation because I'll try those different... There's Garcia cigars.
Garcia Vegas.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
Factory-made cigars.
I would opt not to have a cigar in that case.
And I'm not a big flavored cigar guy, like sweet cigars and things like that. And, of course, the Phillies Blunts, that's a horrible cigar,
No, I'd avoid the mass market. Yeah. No, I'd opt not to have a cigar because that's not...
Yeah.
To me, it's an enjoyment. It's not something I need, right?
Right.
I mean, I've...
Yeah, forget that. I only did it once, and I learned my lesson.
Yeah. For me at this point, it's, it'd be nice to have a cigar right now, but, if I can't, it's no big deal, it's...
Yeah. Have you ever had the Maker's Mark cigar? I see them, but I'm like afraid to try
really,
one.
You've seen them around. They've been around a long time.
Yeah.
I've not had them. I haven't drank in so long that anything that's has anything to do with alcohol infusion or flavorings lost on me anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't really interest me.
But yeah. Yeah. I'm not a fan of very many flavored cigars. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I don't think I've ever. I definitely don't like sweet cigars. That's why I don't like a lot of the acid cigars. I know they're popular.
I do like a coffee-infused cigar from time to time.
Now, that would be different. I would try one of those.
Tabaco Especial from Drew Estate. Or there's several coffee.
That's different. That seems.
And Drew Estate has the natural line, which are not infused, but they use exotic tobaccos. We've talked about it. I've talked about it on shows before. But... they're interesting. They're unique.
Right.
They're different. But
how about? Are you a fan of Cuban cigars?
Sure.
Have you been to Cuba?
I have not.
I have not either.
Cuban cigars. I'm not, I don't go crazy for them.
I don't know how you feel about this. I've tried a few. Now, I haven't tried enough to be absolutely sure, but to me, the Dominicans and particularly the Nicaraguans, to me, are doing such a wonderful job on cigars.
No, I agree with that, for sure.
I think they've either equaled or surpassed any Cuban cigar, especially the guys that escaped from Cuba and maybe took the seeds with them. And
I think, I think there's a level of flavor and complexity in non-Cuban cigars that is just way above Cuban cigars. Cuban cigars have a unique flavor. I think there's a different flavor, but it's all one flavor. I mean, they're Cuban puros. There's not a whole lot of complexity and they're unique. They're different. They're classic.
They've been illegal in the States for so long. People always want something they're not allowed to have.
Plus, the quality control has always been spotty. You have employees, right, that are making pennies that have no incentive to, do a great job.
Right.
Under the communist system. So,
Right.
You can get ones that don't work, don't draw, that they're okay. I have a few scattered through the humidors here and there, and I've had some great ones, and I've had some sucky ones, and
right.
Over the years I've had, I've had Monte Cristo number twos that have been terrible, and I've had them that have been fantastic. And, it's hit or miss, but...
Why do I draw a blank on the one... what's the really popular Cuban...
typically you have...
Cohiba.
Yeah.
If you can get a good Cohiba, that's nice.
Yeah.
But it's funny, when I was in Belize... They were selling counterfeit Cohibas.
Oh, sure.
And it's calling them Cubans.
90% of them.
Guy on the beach tried to charge me $15 for one.
And
I said, no.
The general rule is, if you're not in a Casa del Habanos official store, forget about it.
Right.
And if you're not paying top dollar, forget about it. Because they're not discounted. They're not,
Right.
The guy on the beach does not have real Cuban cigars.
Period. No, he doesn't.
Period. End of story.
Exactly.
And everybody knows that, or should. But there's obviously tons of suckers that enough to make.
Yeah, especially Americans are like, hey, I went to the Bahamas and bought Cubans,
Right. Yeah, a guy on the beach. You know.
Right.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
You're getting
ripped
off.
P.T. Barnum was right.
Yep. You're getting suckered, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you coming out and coming on. I think it's fun to get some interesting and new different perspectives on cigars and music and entertainment. And I think we'll maybe add a little music in at the end.
Okay.
And I appreciate you appearing on the Cigar Craig podcast as we try and...
It's really good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Try and get it going as we wrap up episode 7.
Episode 7.
And lucky number 7.
Great.
But I appreciate it, Nick. Thank you very much. How can interested parties track you down, listen to your stuff, find you on the interwebs?
You can find me all over the place. You can stream me on Spotify, Amazon, CD Baby, Apple Music. And you can go to, of course, nickeverett.com.
That's
nickeverett.com. And you can find me on reverbnation.com/nickeverett. I'm all over the place.
Just
Google my name and get in there, and you can find out.
And I'll have links on the web.
And of course, you can stream me first if you want to listen to some music, and then
you can
hopefully maybe
it.
Purchase some music if you're so kind,
And you can track him down and come see him somewhere in the area.
That'd be great.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for listening to episode 7 of the Cigar Craig podcast. Thanks again to Nick Everett for joining me for the last half hour or so of conversation about cigars and music. And hope you enjoyed that. It was fun sitting and just hanging out with Nick. He's a great guy. Plays some great music instead of the usual ending with the Cigar Craig jingle. We're going to end this with Nick's 2016 song, Tell Me Where the Summer Goes, as it's the end of summer. He thought that would be an appropriate song to end this with, so thank you for sharing that with us. Again, you can find all his music on his website, nickeverett.com, and I'll have links in the on the website for that, and seek him out if you can. He has some great music. Again, you can find previous episodes and this one on Apple, iTunes, and Google Play Music. And once again, thank you very much for listening. Check out CigarCraig.com for all the usual stuff, and we'll see you next time.
In the sun, your love was fine.